This is Psalm 103 this morning, please. Psalm 103. And even though Stacy snuck in late, I'm still going to embarrass her. Sarah's friend, Stacy, visiting with us this morning. I work with Sarah on True Girl. I'm glad to have you here this morning. I'm going to speak about thanks living this morning. Seems like a good counterpart to last week's message where I was griping. But I think maybe the way I did that might have given some people the wrong impression. I specifically stressed the negative to begin with to make a point, not that I was depressed and ready to shoot myself or anything, but just wanted to get the idea across that, you know, we focus on sometimes only the negative. And so this morning, we're going to focus on some positive things as we approach this Thanksgiving week. Psalm 103, and let's take a moment just to read the entire psalm, beginning with verse 1, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He doth not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we're dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thanksgiving is a unique holiday when you think about it. It's not in the honor of any person. It's not in honor of any singular event. In fact, it's all in the honor of him, looking to him, thinking about him. Gary mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, but this year marks the 400th anniversary of those pilgrims setting forth from England to come to this continent. This month marks the 400th year of their arrival to this continent. 400 years we've been around. 400 years since the Mayflower Compact was written. And look where we're at right now. Could be a very pivotal time in our history. As those courageous sailors came, they spent about 65 days on that ship. And the entire voyage, one person died. One of the sailors, a very vile individual who ridiculed the Christians and was troubled by their singing and praying. He's the only one that died on the voyage. But the next winter was not so fortunate for them. About half of them, I think it was 102, 104, half of that number died that first winter. There were difficult times leading up to their voyage. There was difficulty on the voyage. And that first winter was even more so. Can you imagine that? That next year, or a few months from now, half of us would have died. Not a family was not touched by death. And still they persevered, and God had in his infinite mercy and wisdom, 20 years before they even began that voyage, 10 years before they left to Norway to find freedom, God had taken an Indian from America. He was captured and taken as a slave to England, learned the language, learned the ways of the white man, then escaped and came 2 years before the pilgrims left. He escaped and came back to the country, and he was here, in a sense, waiting for them when they arrived to teach them what they would need to be able to survive the second winter, to grow the crops that they needed and building their shelters and so forth. That was God. And throughout the course of our history, God has been the one that has preserved us, a nation. And now we look to God again and beg and plead for his mercy to continue to preserve what was started 400 years ago. In 1623, Governor Bradford made the first proclamation, the first Thanksgiving proclamation. He said this: "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather to at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed in ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings." Not officially the first, but unofficially the first Thanksgiving proclamation, that is. They had gathered even before then, years, the second year before that, to remember God and thank him for what he'd done. In 1789, George Washington made the first National Thanksgiving Proclamation as the first official act of the newly formed Congress. Think about that. No separation of church and state in their minds, or at least not as it's put forth today. The separation of church and state is the states to stay out of the church. It doesn't forbid us to speaking about what's going on in Washington. He said this: "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor." And then more to that, but I'll stop with that. But he recognized God as the provider, as the protector, as the Almighty that we are in subjection to. It wasn't observed annually until 1863 under Abraham Lincoln. The manner of observance of this holiday has changed through the years, and the things that are done to observe it have been in flux. But as we approach this final month of 2020, if nothing else, we can be thankful this year is almost over. Amen. And beg God for mercy in the coming year. We're to give thanks. As we turn to our text this morning, this psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. And interesting to note that there is not a single request made in this psalm. It's all a psalm of praise to the God. And so I begin this morning first with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. There's the call to thanksgiving. You know, how oftentimes when you just fail to give thanks, not just to God, but to other people too. How important that is, though, that we take the time to give thanks. I know I've been guilty of it many, many more times than I like to think about. We ought not to. And there's a call to thanksgiving here. He says, with all that is within me, to bless his holy name. That's just to give everything entirely to giving thanks and praise to God. Not, and yes, for what he's done, but first and foremost, for who he is. He's the creator. We're here because he made us. We're here in this nation because he made it. We're here in this church because God made it. And you think about, we've been through this before at times, and probably in February we'll deal with it again, but how the hand of God was even in the bringing together of this congregation. Yeah, there were some mistakes made. I messed up in several things, but I still believe God was in it. And God had a purpose, and God still has a purpose for this church, a purpose for this nation, and a purpose for each and every one of us. And we're to give him thanks with all that's within us. Let's look at a few verses here. Psalm 86. Psalm chapter 86 and verse 12. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify thy name forevermore. Psalm 104 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. See, God is not just the old man upstairs. God is just not some being that we talk about a little bit on Sunday and forget about the rest of our week. He is to be the central part of our lives. And when we give thanks to him, it's to be with all of our being. With my whole heart, with my soul. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Psalm 146 and verse 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, while I live. I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. I'm not going to stop. I'm never to stop. There's a call that we're to give thanks and praise to our God. And one more, back at Psalm chapter 47. Psalm chapter 47 and verse 7. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Think about what you're saying. Know and understand what you're saying when you're giving praise to him. I know our charismatic friends have a different take on that, but I don't believe it matches the scripture. He says, I'm to do it with understanding. To know and recognize the God that I am addressing, and to do it with my whole heart, to give him praise and honor. But he goes on, he says this, we're to bless his holy name. Look at Psalm 99 and verse 3. Psalm 99, verse 3. Let them praise thy great and terrible name. For it is holy. One of the commandments says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And many of you heard me telling the story before. That was the verse a coworker put with a business card size thing on the poster board at the work with that verse on it. And I read that thing and it was like, whoa, baby, I'm in trouble. And that's what God began to use to prick my heart and to show me my need of Jesus Christ as my Savior. Because I use God's name in vain all the time as an unbeliever. But the sad thing is, sometimes we Christians do the same thing. Oh God, that's using his name in vain. It's holy. And we're to show a proper respect towards God's name, that holy name. Psalm 115 and verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. You see, God's name deserves as much honor and recognition as his very being does. Because it's holy. And then he says this over in Psalm 111 again, in verse 9. He sent redemption to his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. That's why I don't like to be referred to as Reverend Codner. Because it's God whose name is holy and reverend. Not me. I'm just a sinner like everybody else. God's holy. Bless his holy name. It's a name above all names. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. Nehemiah 9, 5. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmon, Bani and Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah and Shebaniah and Bethahiah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. The greatest name on the earth. That's why so many people use it as a curse word. They don't use Muhammad. They don't use Buddha or any of the other multitudes of God. It's only the name of our God that's used in vain. Because it's exalted above every other name. There's power in that name. And finally, go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, speaking about Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name. Jesus Christ is God. So the name of God and the name of Jesus Christ are both holy and exalted above all names. In verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee. And thank God there's coming a day when even Satan himself is going to bow his knee to Jesus Christ. Right now, he's the God of this world. He's the prince and the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the Bible says. But one day, he loses it all. And he himself is going to have to bow and confess before God that Jesus Christ is God, to the glory of God the Father. What a glorious thought. That's a powerful name. And this is the one who we're to give thanks to with our entire being. But let's go on now in the passage here, back over at Psalm 103. That was the call to thanksgiving. Now we want to consider the cause of our thanksgiving. Psalm 103. Certainly, the first thing is because of God, because he is God. But there's so much more than that. Bless the Lord, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. 44 years I've been a Christian. Experienced quite a few things in that 44 years. My kids, 5 kids have brought me through quite a few things in that 44 years. 37 of them, I think it is, right? I've been a pastor. God's been good. And the things that I've seen and experienced because of the benefits of God in my life. And I deserve absolutely none of it. It's because of the God that we serve. He says, forget not all his benefits. The first one, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Man, that's the first thing I got from God. I bowed my knees October the 27th, 1975 to Jesus Christ. I confessed him as Lord. I asked him to forgive my sins, and he did. All of them, past, present, future, they're all covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. He forgiveth all our iniquities. You think about that, folks. All the shame, all the guilt, all the sin, it's gone. Look down at verse 10, I think it is. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. East from west. They never meet. You can circle the globe 1,000 times. And if you start out east, you're always going to be going east. That's how far God has removed our transgressions from us. They're gone. They're buried in the depths of the deepest sea, the Bible says. They're gone from God's mind. You say, how? I don't know. By the blood of Jesus Christ, that's how. But how can God forget? He chose to. He chose to take my sins and cover them in the blood of Jesus Christ and blot them out. As Colossians says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and contrary to us, taking out of the way, nailing it to his cross. They're gone. How precious that thought is. The complete and total clearing of all my sin. Look at verse 10 of Psalm 103 here. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I deserve an eternity in hell, except for the blood of Jesus Christ. That changed it all. Forgiveness. The first benefit that we have at the hand of God. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. And that this is, you know, David is under the Old Testament dispensation, but David is a very unique individual. And God did not deal with David according to the Old Testament law, because he had two counts against him that should have led to his execution. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he had her husband killed. Both of those things are punishable by death under the Old Testament law. And yet God chose to have mercy and forgive him, contrary to the Old Testament law, more like under grace today. And so we read this here in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Because David deserved to die, but God imputed to him righteousness. God took the sin away, and just like with us, he put righteousness in its place. Verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God took it out of the way. God forgave it. Forgiveness. A benefit of God. Reading on here in verse 3, back in Psalm 103, he says, who healeth all thy diseases. Well, our prayer list has got quite a few people that need healing right now. Connie, Shannon, Pat, Bob, Nancy, this Nancy, Van. I appreciate the medical profession. I try to stay away from them as much as possible, but when I need them, it's nice to have them there. But you know what? Healing comes from God. You go to the doctor, he gives you medicine, you get better, or does surgery, whatever the case may be. The healing still came from God. Because you can have two identical people, all their circumstance, all their condition, everything equal, or maybe even one is worse off than the other, and the one not as bad off dies, and the one worse off survives. Because healing comes from God, ultimately. God chooses who needs to be healed, and for whatever reason, who doesn't. You say, well, how can God do that? Because he's God. He's got a right to do whatever he wants. And he's always right, and he's always just in what he does. You stand before God at the judgment, you will not be able to find fault in the decisions that he's made. He heals our diseases. Healing's with him. And so we're to come, we're to pray for these who are sick, these who are in need of healing, and ask for God's mercy, if it be his will, that that healing be granted to them, whether by just a divine touch or whether with the aid of the medical profession. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the doctor. Don't misunderstand me there. But God is the one in charge of me. Let's read on, verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? God's my protection. It was what? 2007, when that car fell on my head. Most people don't survive something like that. You say, well, it was your head, you know. And I thought I was going to die. And I made peace with God there under that car. Says, if this is, didn't think I was going to go like this, Lord, but this is it. I'm in your hands. Guess he wasn't done with me yet. He's our protection. You know, you think about it. There are so many things. Well, we shouldn't think about it, because if we do, we worry about those things. But death is just like that. Anything could happen. It could be a blood clot go into your brain, take you out. Just like that. It could be a car swerves and hits you head on. This place could blow up. Hey, I mean, there's anything that could happen. And if you do worry about those things, it's going to drive you nuts. You just leave it in God's hands. Because I belong to you. What a freedom that is. God, we're walking this course together. And when you say it's time to go home, great. I'm ready to go. Leave it in God's hands. He's our protection. Redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Down in verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear them. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. After you die, people begin to forget. And 30, 40, 50 years after you're gone, there'll be few, if any, even remember you were here. But God knows. And if you're one of his, you're with him anyway. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. We're so weak. This unseen virus that has attacked us for these almost a year now, maybe even a year. Some of you think you had it back in November, December last year. You don't even see that thing. Next thing you know, you're sick. How do you protect against that? How do you fight against that? You trust God. You leave it in his hands. We're so weak. It's his loving kindness and tender mercies of our Heavenly Father to us that brings us through these things. He who marks the fall of that insignificant sparrow. He who knows the number of the hairs on each of our heads. You think, why? Because he's God. You think, who cares? God does. But if he takes note of those insignificant little things, how much more does he take note of what's going on in mine and your life right now at this moment? Because throughout this room, I'm sure there's some burdens, there's some fears, there's some concerns, there's some serious problems, probably that many of you are facing right now. And God knows. And God's in control of it. And God will bring you through it. As he says in verse 5, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You come through that better and stronger. On the other end, God provides for us. Look at verse 5 and 6. who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. God provides my needs. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. My provision, my protection, everything that I need. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you don't have it, you don't need it. You want it, but you don't need it. Because God will provide all your need. You know, we lived in Kansas. I was working full-time, I was pastoring full-time. And there were times, though, when in the winter, work shut down. There were times when we had a lot of macaroni and cheese in the middle of beef country. But we never went hungry. God provided for us. God has always provided. Because he's my shepherd. And I shall not want. We trust him. Look at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Now, think about that for just a moment. Think about God's mercy. And God's mercy is not getting what I really deserve. Because that's eternity in hell. That's the best that any of us deserves from God. But it's abundant mercy. It says it's a mercy that's as high as the heaven is above the earth. Now think about this. You look out there, and if there's any sunshine at all, you'll see the sun, you see the clouds, and the birds and the planes flying around and so forth. That's the first heaven. Those planes fly somewhere between 30 and 40,000 feet. The clouds extend even higher than that. But then you go out at night, and then you see, that's the first heaven. Then you see the second heaven. At least some of it. The moon, the stars, and the planets, and the satellites, and all the things up there, and the constellations in the sky. And you look at that, and then there's so much more that can't be seen with the naked eye. You got to have a telescope. And hundreds of thousands of miles out there. That's the second heaven. And then beyond that, is the third heaven where God dwells. How great is God's mercy? As high as the heaven above the earth. Man, that's a lot of stuff to pack in there, isn't it? That's the mercy of God to us. That's the picture that the psalmist wants to see, how loving and merciful our God is. And we're to thank him for that, because of that great mercy. As Jeremiah said in Lamentations, which is new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. Every morning, God says, here's some more. You got some more today, and you'll get more tomorrow. And every day after that, as long as you take breath, God says, I'm going to continue to renew that to you. To hold back from you what you deserve. God's mercy. The cause of our thanksgiving, these things, ought to generate our praise and honor to him, as well as just the God that he is. And finally, we conclude through this. Look at verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. You know, the prospect of what could happen as a result of how this election is decided gives me some concern. But no matter how it turns out, my God is in control. And it's in spite of how bad it may get here on this earth, and what may be the ultimate fate of this country as a result, this world's not mine. I'm leaving here someday. And I'm going to spend eternity with him. But as long as I'm here, yeah, Satan's the God of this world. But God still got him on a leash. Yeah, it's a pretty long one at times. But God can still take that thing and yank it back any moment. And like I said, one day, he's going to bow his knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because my God has dominion over all of it. Verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. You think of the power of the angels, some of the things that the Bible describes that they've done. They excel in strength and do his commandments. Yeah, there was a third of them that rebelled and went with Satan. But the other two-thirds are still obedient. And sometimes they're sitting on your shoulder just as about you're about ready to do something stupid that could hurt you. And they put out a hand and they stop it. Or they reach out and grab you out of the way, whatever the case may be. They do his bidding, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Verse 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. I think that's us. That's what we're his ministers, right? We're saved to serve him, to do his pleasure. So he says, bless him. That's our responsibility. All who seek to please him. Verse 22, bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, that we can join together in a concert of praise and honor and glory to him. That's what we'll be doing Sunday or Wednesday night in the place of our prayer meeting. Just come together for a time of singing hymns of praise and giving testimony to all the benefits, all the blessings that we received from God's hand. So I hope you'll be here with us to do that, to join together, to give that praise and that honor and that glory, to bless God with our entire being. Amen.
Amen.
Stand, please, for prayer. Lord, I pray that these words have been an encouragement and an help to your people to just take the time to praise and to honor and to glorify you. So oftentimes, it's only when we do pray, it's only to ask for something. God, even our prayer of asking is to be done with thanksgiving. But oh God, may we strive to make time to just thank you for the God that you are. That for your great love, wherewith you loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. And that great act of your mercy in providing the gift of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I thank and praise you for that. And God, so many benefits that we receive at your hand. God, just to take time to count those blessings, to name them one by one, remembering all that you've done in your lives. And I pray that this message will bring many thanksgivings unto your name. Father, if there's someone here this morning that has never trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, help them to understand that it's not their works, it's not church membership, it's not this preacher. None of those things can save them. It's what Jesus Christ did on the cross and shedding his blood and paying the price for our sins. That's where redemption lies. That's where forgiveness of sins is found. And God, if there's one here that's never done that, may they understand and receive you today. As we sing in a moment, may they come and someone will take an open Bible and show them how they can know for sure their sins are forgiven and they're on their way to heaven. And God, for the rest of us, may we be quick to give you the thanks and the praise that you are so deserving of. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing number 530.